The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Welcome to the Brad Sessmatt Show, day two of the Brad Sessmatt fill-in show. We fill in for the big guy as he's taking some R&R, Gil Tyree in the house. And of course, yesterday, we want to thank Kevin Ray and Dr. Rochelle Stevens. Excellent guest yesterday. Well, today, we're going to try to top that. We're going to talk to the great play-by-play voice of the Atlanta Hawks, Steve Holman. Check in with him. He's in Milwaukee for game one of the Eastern Finals. And later on, we're going to check in with Ramona Shelburne, who does great work at ESPN.com, an NBA insider. We're going to get her take on that wonderful, great win last night for your Phoenix Suns over the LA Clippers and DeAndre Ayton with that great tip-in, just about no time on the clock to get the victory over the LA Clippers last night. And what a night it was down at Phoenix Suns Arena. And you got to believe that now with the Suns, with a 2-0 lead, have to at least get one as the series shifts to Staples Center in L.A. Cameron Payton had a great day and a great night. And also Devin Booker struggled a little bit with the nose laceration, possibly a broken nose. Still no word yet on Chris Paul's status. I think it's leaning toward him possibly playing in game three. We'll check in and find out with Ramona on that and see where it is right now. But the Suns in a very, very good position right now as they try to get back to the NBA Finals for the Diamondbacks still struggling. And when will it end? They get a win, then they get a loss. So we'll find out how that goes today against the Milwaukee Brewers. Also, this whole thing with the Major League Baseball and the pitchers and the umpires. And, you know, we had an incident in Philadelphia last night between Joe Girardi and Max Scherzer of the Washington Nationals. And today, Mike Rizzo calling out Joe Girardi. And many people in the Valley know, you know, Mike cut his teeth under Joe Garagiola in the Diamondbacks organization at the start, was the minor league director. And then we always saw the promise in Mike and his ability to lead his own franchise. But now, of course, the general manager and has brought Washington a world championship. And last night, just an ugly scene. And I think with the way this thing is going to work out, I mean, the pitchers are rebelling. The purists in Major League Baseball have a problem with it. OGs like myself and some of the guys who've been in the game and around the game for a long time are struggling with this whole new, let's check the pitcher to see if he has a foreign substance and what have you. And it's just something that's really convoluted right now and needs to be sorted out. And I really think Commissioner Rob Manfred needs to find a way to check and work and do and really talk to the people around the game of baseball to get this thing figured out, because it's really getting ugly. Also, we want to remind you that our show is brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union, locations valley-wide and statewide in the great state of Arizona. Again, Steve Holman on the other side of our break, when we check back with you here on the Brad Sessmatt Show on Sports360AZ.com. We'll be right back. Joining us here on the Brad Sessmatt Show on Wednesday, June 23rd, is one of my buddies, one of my friends. I love him to the core of who he is, the outstanding radio play-by-play voice of the Atlanta Hawks, Steve Holman. Steve, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. Of course, you're preparing for game one tonight between Milwaukee and your Atlanta Hawks. Give us a feel for what this has been, this ride and journey for the Atlanta Hawks and how it's playing out in Atlanta.
Well, Gil, thank you first. It's always great to talk to you, and you know, it's great to be with you. But it's been a phenomenal ride. It's been unbelievable. It's been something that has taken the whole metro Atlanta area by storm. You know, I think people during the summer when the Hawks signed free agents and our general manager, Travis Schlink, went out and spent some of Tony Ressler's money that we had and that was available for free agents. And Tony said, go ahead and spend it. Travis went out and did. And, you know, with the free agent signings that they made during the summer, I think people were pretty excited about what was going to be happening. But I think anybody that looked at it probably thought, well, gee, you know, if they make the playoffs, that'll be good. They can get their feet wet, get a little playoff experience for the young guys, and then move forward into next season, get everybody healthy and ready to go with a normal season, starting, you know, with training camp in late September and then starting the season in October. But now, you know, they're so far ahead of expectations. It's been really fun. I think one of the things is that they're so young, most of them, that they don't realize where they are right now. You know what I mean? It's like they don't understand where they are. So it's great. That's worked in their favor because they just go out and play.
And youth will be served. And it looks like this team is built, Steve, for a long run, that, like you just alluded to, young, talented, without any fear at all. But you talked about the job that Travis Schlink has done and also what the job that Nate McMillan, Tony Ressler, and what have you. But Nate McMillan comes in after Lloyd Pierce is let go, and you guys are struggling, but for some reason you're able to get it turned around. And like I said, what a miracle run it's been. You don't want this thing to stop. Go through New York, go through Philadelphia. Now the challenge of going through Milwaukee and getting to the finals.
Yeah, it's really been something. And you know, that whole thing that when they made the coaching change, the Hawks were 14-20 on March 1st. And they've been 35-15 since then. And if that is not a phenomenal job by Nate McMillan. And the other thing about the 14-20 was that of the 20 losses that we had, 10 of those losses, they had fourth quarter leads. So they've turned that around entirely now. Nate's won some games in the fourth quarter. I think one of the things is that he came in and the guys here know that he played in the league. They respect that. I think they respect the fact that he was a very successful head coach for 15 years in the NBA before he came to Atlanta. And it's really, they've taken to it. And he's got that Believe motto, that the Believe is across the front of their shirts on the warm-ups every night. And they do believe. And I think he has made them believe that they can win in any situation. And they've come back from double digits several times in fourth quarters, including in that Philadelphia series. So it's been a fun run to watch, but Nate has been terrific. And you know, Gil, one of the things that he does that I always like to tell people that seems like a small thing, but he knows how to call timeouts. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so simple, but he does it. He's got the knack to call the timeout at the right time. And that's when, you know, you've got somebody that knows what they're doing.
Exactly. And I'm going to tell you something. You guys really got lucky with Nate, because Nate was let go, unfortunately, with Indiana. And we know how that played out and how that's been going along. I'm sure they regret that. But we're going to talk about this team right now. You know, so much is said about Trae Young. But Steve, I'm going to tell you this. I thought Kevin Huerter stepped up for you. I think Capella has been doing a nice job for you. I think there are other people. It's unfortunate that DeAndre Hunter has been lost to a knee injury. But you have Gallinari, you have Bogdanovich, you have Lewis Williams. You guys have a core of players that are just, I mean, they work, they love each other, they play well together. And I'm going to tell you another thing, Steve, and this is why I like you guys in this series, is you won three games in Philadelphia. You won three games on Philadelphia's home floor. And I just think that you guys will be able to at least get one in Milwaukee, and it's a quick turnaround for you guys. You have been sitting, and that's a good thing too.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, that's the key, is to get one of the two games, either tonight or Friday night. And, you know, preferably it would be tonight, because that would be, you know, take the pressure off for sure for Friday night and play with house money, which is exactly what they did in the first two rounds. They won the first game in New York, then they won the first game in Philadelphia. And I think another thing that Nate McMillan did that was very important right now is that on Sunday night when they played, you know, normally with the charter, you know, you pack and leave the hotel and you'll fly home and then come back, you know, to Milwaukee probably on Tuesday to open up Wednesday. But what he did, he told them, we're not packing. You know, we're staying overnight tonight, no matter what happens. So, you know, they didn't have that put in the back of their mind that we're going home. You know, they knew that they weren't going home on Sunday night. And then they were able to, you know, celebrate that victory and then stay overnight. And they got here yesterday. Monday. They came right here on Monday. So, you know, they've had a couple of days here. So I think that's a brilliant move, too, by Nate.
Before I let you go, what does Steve Holman see as the key in this series? Matchups and adjustments, so important. You've covered this game for so long. You know how they play out. It's the adjustment and the matchups from game one to two. You see that, and then everything falls into play after that. How does Steve Holman see this?
Well, I think you're right. The adjustments are so important, and Nate's so good at that, too. I mean, he made so many adjustments in those first two series. But I think when you play Milwaukee, I mean, it has to start with Giannis. I mean, he's so big and so strong, and you know, he has that you know, what they call the Euro step, where he gets right to the mat so quickly, and he can dunk before you know it. So it's going to be important to try to keep him body in front of him if they can somehow. But the other, you know, Drew Holiday's been great for them this year. What a great pickup that was for Milwaukee, and Chris Middleton has had a very good playoff series. So they're going to be hard. And Lopez usually gives Clint Capella some trouble because he can, you know, he hits that little baby hook shot and then he goes out and hit a three once in a while. So that's a problem too. So, you know, I think they're going to have to, you know, defense is going to have to be a key. But the other thing on the offense is I think the Hawks are feeling good because they really haven't had a game yet where everything has clicked for them offensively, like it did a lot of times during the regular season. Bogey Bogdanovich has a sore knee himself. So he basically in that seventh game in Philadelphia was playing on one leg, but what a gutsy effort that was by him to do that. And you know, if he can make some shots, Gallinari has made some shots in this too. If they can all have it happen at the same time, then it could be a really fun ride. So I think that's, you know, two of the keys for this series.
Well, Steve, have a great call tonight. Thanks again for joining us. I'm rooting for you guys big time. You know how I feel about you. You know how I feel about that organization. And big hugs to you and John Steinberg and all the fine people with the Atlanta Hawks organization. Steve Holman, the great play-by-play voice of the Atlanta Hawks.
Well, Gil, thank you. And I just want to give one little plug for my buddy Al McCoy, too. I would just love to have it be the Phoenix Suns and the Atlanta Hawks in the NBA Finals. That would be so much fun to be with Al.
That would be great. Two of my great friends and two of people that I admire and respect. And not only that, Steve, you've stayed relevant all these years and you still bring it every single night. Good luck tonight on the call.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Steve Holman joining us here on the Brad Sesmet Show. On the other side, we'll catch up with Ramona Shelburne, get her take on game two last night of the Western Finals between your Phoenix Suns and the LA Clippers. Special thanks to Steve Holman of the Atlanta Hawks. Like I said, he'll be calling tonight's game one between the Hawks and Milwaukee Bucks. And we thank him for taking time out of his busy schedule to give us a preview of that series. What a series last night. What a game two last night. Your Phoenix Suns with a buzzer beater of a tip-in. And it was an excellent play drawn up by Monty Williams. And DeAndre Ayton took the lob, was able to put it down. And what a night and what a game Cameron Payne had. And it's great to see Cameron Payne cover this kid when he was in high school in Memphis, Tennessee. Went on to Murray State, had the opportunity to play at Oklahoma City. Then, for whatever reason, and Kevin Ray alluded to this yesterday, had discipline issues, needed to be humbled, played in the G League, then went abroad in China. Has come back, had a relationship with Monty Williams when Monty was at Oklahoma City. And the two have been bonded together again. And this kid's a free agent at the end of the year. And I say this to James Jones and owner Robert Sarver, find a way to lock this kid in for a long-term deal because he is deserving of a multi-year contract. However you're able to fit it in the cap, get it done. Cameron Payne and the Suns, along with DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker, and so many Jay Crowder, so many people responsible. Dario Saric had a great game last night. Torrey Craig played well last night. This team is on the cusp of doing something very, very special. And all they got to do is go to Staples Center, and game three is Thursday night. And we'll check in with Ramona Shelburne on the other side and get her take about last night and the series moving forward, and also rumblings around the National Basketball Association draft lottery last night, Ben Simmons' situation in Philadelphia, all that and more coming up when we touch base with ESPN.com's Ramona Shelburne. This is Gil Tyree, day two of the fill-in tour for the big guy, Brad Sesmet. We'll be right back after these important messages from our sponsor, Desert Financial Credit Union. Here on the Brad Sesmet Show here on Sports360AZ.com. Gil Tyree, and we talked to Steve Holman earlier. Now we have the opportunity to talk to one of my faves, someone I have the utmost respect for. She does an outstanding job on ESPN. She's the NBA insider. You see her on The Jump with Rachel Nichols. Ramona Shelburne, how are you doing today?
Doing good, man. It's been a fun playoffs, huh? It's like, You know, it's every night. These games have just been great.
Let's talk about last night. What your thoughts about that, and the feeling that now with the Suns with a 2-0 lead, can they only have to win, what, one game at Staples Center? Really? And pretty much in the driver's
seat? They don't have to win any. They don't really have to win any. They can just win all the games at home if they need to.
Right.
But what's interesting with the Clippers is, like, they've lost the first two games in every single series they played. So on the one hand, it gives you confidence to know they can come back. But on the other hand, you kind of go, okay, how many times are you guys going to do that? And, you know, as my buddy Brian Windhorst just pointed out to me this morning, he goes, yeah, but the other two series where they lost the first two games, they had Kawhi Leonard. So it's a little different coming back when you don't have that guy. And I know the Suns didn't have Chris Paul and all that, but Kawhi Leonard is really the, you know, they've been doing a great job without him, but they need Kawhi Leonard to win.
And that would lead me to my next question. You touched on it with Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard. Their status is heading into game three.
You know, I think Chris Paul was always going to come back before Kawhi Leonard. It definitely looks like it now. You know, you don't want to say he's going to play game three just because there's so many things that are kind of out of his control in terms of getting cleared. But there's some optimism that he'll be able to play game three. The thing with Kawhi, it's a bit of a mystery in the sense that, you know, they're not necessarily going to say if it's a grade one sprain or grade two sprain, grade three.
Or even an ACL tear. They won't.
Yeah, they haven't even said that. They just call it sprained knee. Mm-hmm. But my understanding is it's some version of an ACL sprain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's fully torn, but it's a tough injury to just come back from real fast. So I think it's I think on his end, you know, you have to think about the rest of your career too. Like, that's a knee injury that absolutely can get worse. So even if it's just the smallest, the least severe of them, the grade one sprain, it's still a tough injury. And I would be nervous if he came back too soon from that.
And he's had a history of not playing when he feels like he doesn't need to play based on the injury factor. We saw that in San Antonio, and to some degree, we saw it in Toronto. So I agree with you. If we see him, we see him, but I don't foresee him being available at all for this series. I really don't. And even the finals, should they beat either Atlanta or Milwaukee? We had earlier. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, why is it? This one is different, though, than the load manage injuries. Like,
okay.
This is the same leg, by the way, that he had the quadriceps injury, the same quadriceps tendinosis that hurt him in San Antonio. But, you know, Kawhi's had to load manage this thing for a couple of years, ever since he developed that issue. But this is an actual injury. Like, this is not like, oh, I need to rest to keep it healthy at the right time. This is like, you just need that thing to heal. Like, you can't go out there and play on a partially torn ACL and expect it's going to hold up over an NBA game. You know, Kawhi is super athletic. I mean, even the way that he hurt himself with a non-contact injury as he was driving through traffic. And so I didn't like the way it looked when it happened. And then he kind of seemed like it wasn't that serious because he didn't get trainers come over to him to check him out because he kind of waved him off. So I thought it wasn't that serious, but and he did too because he was going to play game five. He flew to Utah. But obviously that's a much more serious injury than he initially first thought. And you know, my sense is, like, it's one thing if you want to give it a go, if you got a hamstring strain or a sprained ankle or whatever it is. But when you have an ACL injury, I don't think you push it with that.
And so much has been made, Ramona, about this 72-game schedule, which has been crammed in, and how the games have been slotted and what have you, and the effect, the toll it's taken on a lot of the players around the league. And Adam Silver hopefully will address that when they come back for the 82-game grind, which starts, what, in October, really? I mean, training camps will open up in October, correct?
Yeah, and what I would say is, like, you know, I know there's been a lot made about the schedule and the injuries and all that stuff that happens, but I, you know, some of the injuries, yes, like any soft tissue injury, like a hamstring or a quad pull or calf, whatever, you can attribute that to injury, but the condensed schedule. But, you know, LeBron James had somebody fall on his leg. I mean, Solomon Hill fell on LeBron James' leg. Like, is that because of the condensed schedule? No, I mean, somebody just fell on his leg. So I don't know. I don't think we can call Kawhi's injury related to the schedule. I think people are just chalking a lot of that up to it because it has obviously really affected these playoffs. But, you know, I like to be careful not to paint with too broad of a brush, right? And I thought those tweets that LeBron had, like, yeah, it was a frustrating year for everybody involved. Nobody had fun last year. Like, it was just constant COVID testing, not seeing your friends and family, being out on the road, always with this fear of picking up the virus, right? I mean, until people were able to get vaccinated, there was like a real fear all the time, sort of hovering over them. But it was a rough year for the entire league to get through, but they made it through. And I think we're kind of the feeling that a lot of players had was this, well, this is why everybody's getting hurt. But I think we have to be real specific in like what actually caused injuries. Like, contributed to some, yeah, but I think it contributed more to people just kind of being somewhat miserable during the year, right? Because it was a rough year to get through.
Ramona Shelburne, duly noted. What has surprised you about this Sun series to play? Has it been Monty Williams' coaching? Has it been DeAndre Ayton? Has it been the emergence of Cameron Payne? Has it been all the above, the additions of Jay Crowder and Chris Paul? How do you see the Suns and what they've accomplished so far?
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm not surprised by anything the Suns are doing now because I've been watching them all playoffs. Like, they're really good. I mean, like, Cameron Payne, that was, yeah, everybody's like, oh, who's Cameron Payne?
Right.
Yeah, Cameron, like, he did that in the series against the Lakers, too, when Chris Paul had the shoulder injury. He was great. So, like, he might be a little surprised based if you haven't been following the Suns the whole time, but he's been showing out when they needed him this year. Monty Williams, amazing coaching job this year. Not just drawing up that last out of bounds play, but just the way that he's got his team focused with the right. Like, I just think his the way he helps them get to this stage mentally, like the way he's controlling their emotions, the calmness that he has, it's really impressive to watch because this is a young team. Like, they have not been to this place before, so to have him in your corner, kind of helping you through all this is really, really impressive. For me, the thing that surprised me, I'll just go. I mean, it's not to me, it's Devin Booker. Like, that guy has been an absolute superstar, and you know, we all thought of him as a good scorer, like a good shooter, a good scorer. But he did some dirty work last night. Like, he's the one who set the big screen on the play where Ayton dunked the ball at the end.
Absolutely.
Like, I think he's a lot tougher and a lot like tougher, not just physically, but mentally tough than a lot of people realize or were ready to give credit to him for. So I think that's a really big thing for the Suns, not just this year, but as a franchise going forward. Like, this is a guy that you can build your whole franchise around for a decade.
Well, owner Robert Sarver and the NBA's executive of the year, general manager James Jones, they have a lot of things in front of them because they have to look at DeAndre Ayton's situation, give him, should they give him a contract extension, which the answer is a resounding yes. Dealing with Cameron Payne situation, you have a lot of things that are going to be on their plate when it comes time for the offseason to continue, like you said, to build this young basketball team and a powerhouse in the Western Conference.
Well, it makes it easy when you win, right?
Right.
You know, exactly. when your team's winning and you feel good, you don't worry too much about the offseason yet. You know, right. You worry about that when the offseason right. happens. But like, you know, if you end up having to pay these guys and the team gets expensive, that's okay.
Because
mm-hmm. you're winning. Like, what's mm-hmm. the worst thing is when you have to pay for a team that doesn't win. That's not fun at all if you're an owner. But if you get to the Western Conference Finals, if you get to the finals, that's no right. problem.
And like you said, a young team that's on the rise. We saw this last year emerging in the bubble down in Orlando, but you have Mikal Bridges, you have Devin Booker, you have so many young pieces, Ayton, you know, the list goes on and on and on. Before I let you go, Ramona, and again, Ramona Shelburne of ESPN joining us on the Brad Sesmet Show. What are some things around the league that you're going to be looking at front and center as we move forward? Will Ben Simmons stay in Philadelphia? Damian Lillard, Portland? What do you see as one of the big headline stories moving forward?
I think the situation, I mean, the lottery got things really interesting.
Right.
I thought Houston holding onto its pick, that made things real, real fun. Detroit getting the number one pick. I'm happy for that franchise and Troy Weaver,
right. mm-hmm.
The GM there. But to me, the thing is, everything gets real interesting starting at three because the Cavs have, you know, kind of signaled mm-hmm. a willingness to deal that pick. There's five really good players in this draft. So, you know, I think the lottery shapes out where, you know, there could be some interesting movement at the top of that draft that affects a lot of the players that you just mentioned, whether that be Ben Simmons or Kevin Love or Damian Lillard. I personally don't think Damian Lillard goes anywhere. I think he's a Portland guy. I think he just needs them to change up the complexion of that team and change things in a way that's going to be, I don't know if it'll be better, but it'll definitely be different.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously those storylines are what we're all going to be watching going forward, but I'm happy about that lottery, man. It was always going to be fun, but we just introduced a few new, really, really interesting storylines by
exactly.
how that shook out last night.
And seeing Ben Wallace, the future Hall of Famer, sitting there and reveling in the moment for the Detroit Pistons and that franchise, a proud franchise. And like you said, good for Troy Weaver and company. Also, the coaching vacancy starting with Boston, some of the things that we're going to look for during the offseason. Ramona, you do a phenomenal job. And I want to thank you taking time out of your busy schedule, joining us here on the Brad Sesmet Show on Sports360AZ.com.
You got it, man. Thanks.
Okay. Ramona Shelburne joining us here, and that's going to put a wrap on the Brad Sesmet Show on day two of the fill-in tour with Gil Tyree. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have more newsmakers around the world of sports, and we'll continue on looking at the Suns and readdress the game one of the Atlanta-Milwaukee series in the East and a whole lot more. For producer Jarrett Nielsen, the aforementioned Ramon Shelburne, and Atlanta Hawks play-by-play man Steve Holman, this is Gil Tyree saying so long for another edition of the Brad Sesmet Show on www.sports360.az.com. We'll see you tomorrow.